In the name of one God, the life-giver, nurturer, and savior. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all moms, stepmoms, foster moms, chosen moms, expecting mothers, to those who are hoping to be mothers, or those who had wished to be a mother, but life unfolded another way. To all those who show us that tender, attentive, caring, motherly love of God, I hope you feel loved this day as well. And what greater Mother's Day gift could there be than what the lectionary readers have given us in today's gospel, a really straightforward, coherent, easy-to-follow gospel reading? After the 8 a.m. service, someone asked me, was Jesus drunk? They had good reason to believe it, because if you've been following along and reading this Gospel of John, you know that this reading comes in chapter 17. You can know that just from today's program. But this discourse of Jesus teaching started back in chapter 12, when all of the disciples went up to the upper room for the Last Supper. And all of the events of the Last Supper and Judas being sent out have happened, and the foot washing, and Jesus teaching about how we'll have to face crucifixion and persecution, we'll come back. All of that has been happening for 5 chapters, and now we've reached chapter 17, and this part that they refer to as the high priestly prayer. And I think that they call it the priestly prayer because only a priest would talk for 5 chapters and then say, I'm going to wrap this up with another lengthy prayer. So this is where we are at in the context. Jesus is concluding this dinner, and from here they leave to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where the events of Holy Week will unfold before them. There's a lot going on in this gospel text, but maybe it really is a gift that we read it on Mother's Day. And we can hear Jesus' prayer in this passage, not in the voice of the great high priest, but in the voice of a mother's love. A mother who's sending her children out into the world. And some of you may remember this or are anticipating right now. When you send your child off to college or off to kindergarten or off to anywhere, because any time they leave the house, your whole heart goes with them. This is the love that we hear in Jesus' prayer. Jesus is interceding for his disciples, knowing that his time with them is coming to an end, but he's going to have to turn them over to their own devices. He can't be there for them anymore. He can't teach them and protect them. And he's praying to God saying, I have given them all the love that I have to give, which is all the love that you have to give. I have raised them up and taught with them, walked with them, broke bread with them. And I love this line that says that they have kept the commandments, because I can just hear it in this mother's voice in my head that's Jesus saying, these boys are good boys. God, come down and protect them. Take care of them. I've done my best. I've given them everything. And now they have to go out into the world on their own. God, go with them. Watch over them. Protect them. And throughout this prayer, we hear the tenderness, the anxiousness and hopefulness that we hear or might hear in a mother sending her own children out into the world. It's the space of giving up control. There's this weary eagerness or a foreboding longing, a hope-filled heartbreak of sending a loved one out into the world. And Jesus is fully living into this faithful act of giving up control. Jesus has made this a holy act, to give up control. It's an agonizing act to release all of our control and power. Jesus is entrusting the disciples to the Spirit, eager to see what the disciples will do when directed by the Spirit, even though the only disciple he has sent off is Judas, and Judas betrays him. Still, Jesus sends off the other 11 to carry out his ministry and to spread God's love. What faith, what anticipation Jesus has in his disciples. Jesus holds this faith for us as well and invites us into this space, this hallowed space, to give up control, or rather for us, a space where we admit that we maybe never had control in the first place. But still, we're called to give up that desire for control, that illusion of control. Jesus models this for us, inviting us to bring the Spirit, make room for the Spirit in our lives, that the Spirit will guide us through, and we can trust the Spirit in whatever trials befall us. Only then can we see the Spirit at work. Only then can we see what we are capable of, when we allow the Spirit to guide and direct and empower us. In our reading from Acts, we see the first church engaging in this kind of holy work of giving up control. They must replace Judas to retain the number 12. So how do they do that? They come up with a system. There must be a certain amount of parameters met, but then they cast lots, which may seem really, really odd in the context of a faith where God's voice is often spoken through drama of burning bushes and pillars of fire and series of plagues. Now we are determining God's will by casting lots. What's next, throwing dice or flipping a coin? It seems like they are leaving it up to chance. But in another sense, casting lots demonstrates the disciples' faith, how they have placed their trust in the Spirit. They know that whomever is picked, the Spirit will do her work in them and through them. Whether it is Matthias or Justice doesn't matter. What matters is that they give up control and make room for the Spirit to enter their hearts and their community. And by doing that, they allow for the Spirit to move through them and to grow the church. And the Holy Spirit faithfully responds, taking control and growing this Christian community from a first century Jerusalem community, growing and thriving across the centuries until it reaches and grows right here in Hermosa Beach in 2024, where we too are witnesses to the faithfulness of the Spirit at work, especially when we release our desire for control. Think of the time shared at this church when things unraveled, only to have the Spirit guide us through the chaos to discover a holy place and holy time. Examples abound, but a few come to mind for me in my short time with you. Last time at Laundry Love, we had 5 volunteers, and we typically need about 14 to make the operation run smoothly. So we were hard-pressed, and yet it was one of those times that the Spirit came in to make everything flow smoothly and to open up conversations that were heartfelt and meaningful, and the Holy Spirit was felt as in control. Or maybe when we put out a call for 200 home-baked cookies for our St. Luke's shower ministry, and on the day before the event, we only have 50, but then on the day of the event, in walks Kelly Johnson with 10 dozen cookies, and the Holy Spirit enters the room. Even in, and maybe especially in, more serious times of our lives, when we're moving from one phase to another, when indeed the kids have grown up and have moved out, or a few years into retirement, we might find ourselves wondering where we will find a new sense of purpose and fulfillment. Or when our bodies fail us and we cannot show up for others the way we've always done, the Spirit faithfully guides us to new ways of ministering, new ways of spreading God's love. The Spirit is always ready and waiting to guide us deeper into love of God and one another. When we give up control to the Holy Spirit, only then can we see the Spirit moving in us and through us. So as we prepare for Pentecost next week, when we celebrate the giving of the Spirit, when it comes down in those holy flames that dance upon our heads, I ask, with a week to go, what do we need to release? What ways are we still trying to wrangle control back from God? What ways are we not allowing the Spirit to move and guide us? This week, the week before Pentecost, the week that Jesus prays that we might give up control and experience the movement of the Spirit within us, may we make space and prepare our hearts for the Spirit to descend upon us and come into our lives, that we may make ourselves ready to hear her guidance and her intuition, so that we may be guided into a deeper love of God and one another. Amen.